Hey y'all, I'm Carrie.
Hey y'all, I'm Mandy.
And this is Monstrous. This episode contains topics and language that may not be suitable for all listeners, and topics that may be triggering to some. Listener discretion is advised. All right, we're back. Second episode we're recording today. So this one is late. This one was supposed to come out on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
So we're late for this one. I had an ocular migraine for 2 days. And honestly, I had a really hard time functioning. So we pushed it because we always want to give you the best. So we're here. We're going to batch record today. So this week, you're going to get your regular Monday episode, this one, plus your normal Friday. So you're getting three this week.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's going to be good.
Okay. So now with all of that, are you ready for a triple whammy today?
Yeah, I want to hear this one.
All right. So to start off, we're going to go back to the 1800s. And I'm going to tell you the tale of a woman with a legend that is all her own and who could possibly have been a real vampire who may still walk among us today.
Oh, shit.
So Papa told me about this lady and I looked into it. It's actually really fascinating. Whether real or not, it's super fascinating. So when you hear vampire, what do you think of?
Can't be out in the day, drink blood, maybe or maybe not sleep in a coffin. It depends if they're like in 2025, like up to date.
Right. So most people think of one of two versions. Either the evil coffin sleeping Dracula type, mm-hmm. like you said, or the shiny, beautiful Edward Cullen type.
Did not think about that.
What pretty much no one thinks of is the Amazon.
The Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Like the Amazon rainforest and the Amazon.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
But in the 19th century, the old world curse had allegedly fell upon the Amazon in a village called Belem. And I might be saying that wrong, of course. So in this village, there was a woman named Camille Monfort. Camille Monfort was a young and beautiful woman. She enchanted audiences with her voice. Her talent and beauty became legendary. Her fans loved her and showered her with gifts. She was a woman wise beyond her years and born before her time. Rich men desired her and their jealous wives hated her. The amount that is truly known about Camille is very little. Her life is largely based on speculation and mystery. At some point along the way, though, she became the subject of fascination and curiosity for all those that were around her. She's the definition of haters make you famous. The tales that have seemed to come out about Camille Monfort over the years points to just how unique, interesting, and striking she really was during her very short life. So Camille Monfort was born in 1869 in France. She was the youngest daughter of Henry and Marie Monfort. Her father, Henry, was a French diplomat and the consulate general of France in Belem, which is the capital state of Para in Brazil. Her mother, Marie, was a French aristocrat who was related to the royal family of Orleans.
Mm.
So Camille had a very privileged upbringing, but the family was also Roman Catholic, so things were extremely strict growing up. This is like the old school Roman Catholic. Camille and her family had moved to Brazil in 1876 when she was only 7 years old. She had two older brothers, Louise and Charles. They went on to follow in their father's footsteps into diplomatic careers. There isn't really any information out there that I could find about Camille's education, but With it being the 1800s, her family being well off, and also being Roman Catholic, Camille definitely had a governess, and she was taught the culture of Brazil along with its history. Camille was never married, which is shocking for not only the time, but also because she was very beautiful and very talented. Camille stood at 5'5" with what is described as a decent waist. Many men and women admired her for her free spirit and the independent aura she had about her. She provoked indescribable desires in men and atrocious amounts of jealousy within their wives. So although Camille Montfort lived a short life, she seemed to live life by her own rules, and her life was most definitely interesting. She had a personality that was independent and rebellious for the time in which she lived. She dressed in the most fashionable clothes at the time, even wearing some that were considered to be provocative. So Camille smoked, she rode horses, and once cars were invented, she drove. All things women did not do during her time. Camille was also said to have a notorious love life, having had affairs with several married men, including barons, politicians, journalists, and diplomats.
Oh, she was a hoe.
She was classy, huh?
She didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, she was a classy hoe.
Yep. It is widely said that Camille was the lover of Francisco Bologna. I'm totally butchering that. Hopefully everybody knows what I'm talking about. He was said to have brought Camille from Europe and showered her with expensive champagne baths using imported champagne to fill his massive mansion bathtub.
Get it, girl?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That's a massive motherfucking money.
That's an 1800 sugar daddy.
Yeah, right. Sugar daddies nowadays need to step the fuck up.
To fill a bathtub with champagne, that is a massive richly funded.
Right. For everybody, that's my dad. I guess we didn't mention that.
Usually we do.
Sorry. So Camille had the world opened up to her from a very young age, simply because of her father standing within the diplomatic world. But she preferred to live her life in the theater rather than at home. She was said to be an outstanding opera singer, attracting very large audiences. This profession gave her the freedom that she wanted, the freedom to have her own luxurious life without needing her family to do it. The stories about Camille kind of got out of hand. Rumors began to circulate and malicious comments were made. Haters are going to hate, guys. Mm-hmm. Her nightly walks began to spark curiosity when she was seen in her long, vaporous dresses under the moonlight along the Guajiro River. She was deemed the Amazonian vampire because of her pale skin, unliving features, and her late night walks. You know, this is some fucking man's jealous ass wife that came up with this shit.
Yep.
But it fits though. Yep. I mean, her pale complexion and zombie like features and tone about her only boosted those rumors. It has been said that Camille had been attacked by vampirism while she was in London. Her paleness and sickly appearance had led many around her to believe that she herself had brought evil to the Amazon. They stated she would have mysterious cravings so bad that she would hypnotize young women with her voice during her opera shows, which would cause them to fall asleep in her dressing room so that Camille could attack their necks.
The fuck? You couldn't come up with something better than that.
It's such a good story, though. Like, right, it really right, is. Yeah. It's out of this world. It's such a great story, and it's so 1800s.
Right, that is true.
Like, it just fits the time so well. It's great. So it is a fact that people often fainted during her performances. This is because she was, in fact, hypnotizing them. Or the emotions were so high from her strong voice that this was their body's reaction. Mm-hmm. Her voice carried so well and her performance moved people so much that their physical bodies reacted to it. Mm. So that's where she hypnotized them.
I love to hear her sing.
Right.
That would be amazing.
Right. So many believe that Camille could also communicate with the dead. and even materialize their spirits into dense mists of ectoplasmic matter, which she would then expel from her body during a medium session.
Hmm.
Now we got some Ghostbusters going on in here.
But
could you imagine, like, the green alien from Ghostbusters coming out of Camille's mouth? Oh, God. Whatever. Could you imagine this beautiful woman up there singing and stuff, and then she goes and sees a medium and just is green?
Thing coming out her mouth?
Slimer from out mouth.
Oh, that would be great. I'd be like, I'm done. I quit.
It's a wrap.
I'm no longer a medium.
Not it.
Okay. So this began the spiritualistic movement in Brazil, which was practiced in the palaces of Belém by mysterious cults. So this whole thing started the spiritualistic movement. However she chose to live her life or conduct herself, in the end, Camille was not immortal. Or at least that's how it appeared. There was an outbreak of cholera by the end of 1896 that swept through Belém, and Camille was one of the many people that had contracted it. For those that are not aware of what cholera is, it is a bacterial disease that is spread through contaminated water and food. It causes severe dehydration, and it is fatal if it's not treated right away. And this is the 1800s.
Yeah.
In some cases, depending on how long the exposure was, it could cause death within hours of your symptoms starting.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It was some major shit.
Right.
So during this time, they didn't have the medical advances that we have now. So like many other treatable illnesses, cholera was basically a death sentence in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Camille, who had contracted this, died at the age of 25.
Oh, wow.
She was laid to rest in the Cemetery of Solitude in Batsimir, France. Camille lived a short life, but with it, she did a lot. She was not only a talented opera singer who studied classical music at the Conservatoire de Paris, but she could also speak four languages, which included Italian, German, English, and Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
By the time she died, she had learned how to play piano, the violin, and the guitar.
Wow.
Yeah. While performing, Camille traveled all over Europe, and she performed not only in theaters, but also in saloons. So just wherever she could.
Nice.
Yep. Today, Camille's tomb still stands covered in slime. Moss and dry leaves from the mango tree in which it stands underneath gives her tomb a darkness that is only illuminated by the small rays of sun that reach it through the leaves. Her tomb is a neoclassical mausoleum. It has a closed door with an old rusty lock. There stands a white marbled female bust atop the wide lid, and hanging along the wall is a small framed photo of a woman who is believed to be Camille, dressed in all black. Her tombstone reads, quote, "Here lies Camille Maria Montfort, 1869 to 1896, the voice that captivated the world." Some, though, still swear today that her tomb is empty. They say her death and burial were faked, that both were done in order to cover up her vampirism, and that Camille Montfort is very much alive today. Camille Montfort's legend and legacy has went on to inspire many things, such as art and literature, novels, poems, songs, paintings, and even a movie or two. And even today, many people still know her and visit her tomb. If Camille was truly a vampire and is out there somewhere today living among us, she would be 155 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, was Camille Montfort a real vampire? Is she still living among the people of Brazil today, or has she moved on to another place now that her family is gone? Or were these claims simply just rumors started by jealous wives and the wives of the men that she had allegedly had affairs with?
That's crazy.
Isn't that a good story?
It really is. She did a lot.
Right.
To have passed away when she was 25.
Yeah. And she was a real person. Like, yeah. I found her ancestry page and everything. She was a real person. That's how I found out who her parents were.
Right.
So she was real. So the story that she left behind is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
And she does like have, she does really have like vampire-ish features. Mm-hmm. She has that long black curly hair, and she does it look like, obviously they're not colored photos. They're like that Sifa hue, mm-hmm. but she really does look to be very, very pale.
She does, but she's really pretty.
She is.
She does look like a vampire.
Yeah, her eyes and stuff.
And she almost always wore black, so.
All black's always been associated with vampires.
Mm-hmm. Which this is what, this is who she was believed to be. I mean, it's the 1800s, you know what I mean? That's inside the monolith.
That's pretty. Wow.
And the bust is believed to be, you know, what she looked like.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And then on the outside, it's what?
Hmm?
You say she looks like a vampire?
Yeah, you saying I look like a vampire. I look like a vampire.
Not the tone of her skin, the way she looks.
Oh.
Kind of fucking.
And then that's how it looks on the outside. Like, it looks like it's run down, yeah. But then you go inside of it, and it's beautiful.
That's wild. That's big.
Such a good story.
Mm-hmm.
We had to cover it. I thought we did it last year, but I looked back, and we didn't.
I don't.
So I was like, we have to do it, because it is such a good story.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So, now Camille Monfort's story leaves us with an unsettling question. What happens when legends outlive the people that they're tied to? Whether Camille was truly a vampire, a victim of rumor, or just a larger-than-life figure caught between fact and folklore, her story shows how the line between truth and legend can blur until it's impossible to separate the two. And that's something that we see over and over again in ghost stories, local lore, and in places where tragedy imprints itself so deeply that people swear the spirits never leave. So, with that, we are going to leave the Amazon and France behind and travel forward into the American Midwest, right here to Iowa.
Nice.
Where bridges cry out in the night and churches hold secrets all their own. So bridges all over the world are known to be haunted, often because it was a site of a tragic accident or a suicide, because it's widely believed that if someone dies unexpectedly or in a traumatic way, shocking or even gruesome, their soul imprints on that location, never leaving it. So all across Iowa, there are countless bridges that some have claimed to see ghostly apparitions, hear voices that aren't there, or other types of the supernatural that they deem as evidence of the bridge being haunted. And today, I'm going to tell you about one that has not one, but two legends, and even a separate haunting attached to it. In eastern Iowa, there's a bridge that's nestled over the river running through Ottumwa, Iowa. This bridge is called Crybaby Bridge. Like many bridges with this name, it is said you can hear the cries of babies echoing through the night. For anyone that doesn't know, Crybaby Bridge is a term that refers to numerous bridges across the United States associated with urban legends and ghost stories involving the sounds of a baby crying, and many of these bridges are called just that, Crybaby Bridge, having no real name attached to it. Some of them have real names, but nobody calls them their real name. This area is known for not only ghost sightings, but also UFO sightings.
Oh.
The rumors and accounts of a supernatural presence dates back to the 1990s that I could find. And I'm going to tell you about two of the legends attached to this bridge. And these legends give the bridge its name, along with an abandoned church, which has its own set of spooky stories, and one that leads directly back to the bridge. Now, on with our haunting. Years ago, a young girl fell pregnant and hid it, even from her boyfriend. Her boyfriend assured her that they would be together no matter what, but that was not entirely true. Eventually, her father found out she was pregnant, kicked her out of her home. She went on to stay with another family until she gave birth. A few weeks after her new daughter was born, she went to her boyfriend's home to show him their baby. But when she arrived, she found her boyfriend with another woman.
Surprise, surprise.
Right. Enraged and heartbroken, she took off running with her baby girl. As she came across the bridge nearby, she realized she no longer wanted a baby with a man that no longer loved her. Believing the baby is what caused him to lose his love for her, and so in a fit of rage, she threw her baby over the bridge.
Holy shit.
Snapping out of it and realizing what she had just done, she ran to her father's house just down the road. Full of regret and grief, she entered the barn and hung herself. It is said that if you visit this bridge now, you can still hear the crying wails of her drowning infant daughter. It's further said that sometimes you can even see the pale, ghostly apparition of a young girl walking along the bridge with a noose still around her neck.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy.
Our second legend for this bridge includes a church. And this is the most known legend out of all of them. So these are the two most popular. This one here is the one that most people know of. So southeast of Ottumwa is Mars Hill Church in Bloomfield, Iowa. This church is the oldest log cabin church west of the Mississippi River, and it is the largest log building in Iowa. The church and the area around it has a very mysterious and creepy history to it. This church dates back to 1856, and it was a restoration of that used salvaged timber wood from vintage barns. And in its beginning, the church was an active stop along the Underground Railroad. The church was destroyed in 2006 when someone decided to light it on fire. And many others since have tried to burn the church down for unknown reasons, because they're fucking stupid. But each time, the church still stands and is repaired.
Oh, that's wild.
Yep, it has been set on fire several times, and it has never burned completely to the ground. And they always repair it. Yeah. It's rumored that the church is haunted. And that has a big part in why the building still stands today, despite the many attempts to burn it down. Some also believe that the church and its grounds is the site where alleged black rites or black masses, depending on where you live, and other similar things took place. This has been proven because of the candles and pentagrams that are left behind.
Ooh.
The cemetery on the church grounds is the final resting place of at least one Civil War veteran, and there could possibly be more that were laid to rest on the ground of this old spooky church. The spirits that seem to linger on the church grounds are believed to be that of slaves, war veterans, children, and others. But how it ties to a haunted bridge just over the town line brings the most attention to the church and the grounds. So, on to our second legend. Many years ago, a young woman had her baby baptized in Mars Hill. Then, directly after the baptism, for some unknown reason, she walked to the bridge and threw herself and the baby into the water, both drowning. It is said that on certain nights, you can hear the sounds of not only a crying baby, but the screams of a woman as you cross the bridge. People also swear that if you drive across this bridge, stop and put the car in neutral at midnight, preferably on a full moon, the spirits of children move the car across the bridge. And if you put baby powder on the bumper of your car, you can see the fingerprints. Many say there has to be an incline that causes the car to move. But Mike grew up in Ottumwa.
Mm-hmm.
He has been to this bridge. And that bridge is level all the way across. There is no incline. Because before I decided to do this one, I asked him, is there an incline?
Mm-hmm.
He said, no. It is straight all the way across the river. Yep. So for our skeptics out there, because I know it's hard to imagine one bridge or even a church being tied to the other, and these two tales, or the many others out there, I went looking for proof so I could show you. Because we have not made it out there to do it ourselves yet.
I know. We need to.
I know. We will, but we have to wait for a full moon.
Yeah.
It's the best time to do it.
Right.
So I have a video that was recorded by the sister station of KRNA out of the Quad Cities. They sent a reporter out to check this part of the haunting of the bridge. This video shows the car moving forward and fingerprints on the bumper. So, are you ready to watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to put this link on Facebook as well, so everybody can see it.
Okay. Can you guys see this out here? It is so effing creepy. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm doing this. Okay. So, I'm going to come over here and put on some baby powder. Hello, Dad. All right. So, here we go with the baby powder. Now, it's told that if you put baby powder on this, you will see fingerprints when you put your car in neutral.
That's a lot of baby powder.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's enough?
And there's no wind.
Right.
It's not blowing around.
It's like baby powder. You can see this. But it's creepy. It's dark out here. It's windy.
She said it's windy, but you can't see the baby powder blowing around. So if there is wind, it's not very... It's not enough to blow the baby powder around.
This is so crazy, guys. All right. So we're going in the car. Turn our radio off. Lock the doors because I don't like this. And we're going to middle of the bridge. And you put it in neutral.
Not put here?
No, I mean... Get off. All right, now I'm going to use it right here.
I'm in neutral.
No.
This is new.
Oh my God, we're fucking moving! No! 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 Reverse! 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 Put this in reverse! I'm taking you off the bridge, Dad! What do you think about this? What do you think?
Let's go look at the dust.
Oh my God. I'm so freaked out.
He said, let's go look at the dust.
Dad, get your light. I do not want to be here. Oh my God.
That's freaking weird.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Oh my God. There's like fingerprints, guys. Can you see this? Oh, I'm not shitting you, Dad. What is this? What is this?
It's like fingerprints in there, right there.
That looks like fingerprints, guys. Dad, look behind me. I don't want anything coming up behind me. F this, guys. There is literally like smear marks. You guys saw. We just put powder all over this. And there's like finger marks. Can you believe it? Look, there is a fingerprint right there. Look behind me. I don't want anything coming up.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh my God, guys. I'm going to try this again. I'm going to put it on Snap so maybe that you guys can see it. But OMG. Okay, I'm done. I'm freaked out. I'm over this. Holy crap. Okay. We have to do this one more time. I'm going to put this on stop and we're going to try it one more time.
Isn't that crazy?
That would be neat to see and experience.
Because I was one of those where I'm like, really? Yeah. Like, the car doesn't move. It's got to be. So I went looking for video and I found that. Isn't that crazy? So I found two separate experiences from posters on Reddit about Mars Hill Church and Crybaby Bridge. Okay. So our first account goes as follows. This entire thing is a quote. So it's word for word what he stated as his experience. So quote, my name is Craig Kogel, also known as Boy. I was born in the year 1982 in Alton, Illinois. This is my testimony to what really happened with this life-changing event to most honest that I can be. It was a nice summer evening. I was driving in an unfamiliar area. I knew nothing of the history of any of these places that I'm about to mention. Three things, one event. One, I was arguing with an ex-girlfriend. I stopped the vehicle that I was driving on top of Crybaby Bridge, and I don't know why I did it. But I was trying to make my ex-girlfriend mad, so I told her that a lady jumped off that bridge and killed herself and that the baby she was holding also. Two, we proceeded to make our way up the hill towards Mars Hill Church, and I parked the vehicle across the gravel road from the church. And I was trying to calm down the arguing, so I told her that it was really beautiful out there, which it was. The wind was blowing, the wind was blowing the tall grass everywhere, and the lake down below was just so sparkly. I then told her that this place looked like the perfect place for Indians to do their ceremonies. I had to use the restroom, so I got out of the vehicle and relieved myself. I went in the tall grass and This is gross, guys. Okay. I'm just, this
oh,
is
great.
Yeah. It's gross, but I got to tell you how it is. I went in the tall grass and left feces on the ground. I don't feel like he needed to use that detail, but I'm sorry, guys. 3, I drove out of the meadow and told her that the church that stood across from us was the spot where witches were burned, mainly for cannibalizing on babies a century or two before. Another sick and demented thing for me to say to make my girlfriend mad. Shortly after I drove to see a friend in the nearby town of Eldon, and her husband found out what had happened, and he made us leave because he was mad and screaming at us that land was forbidden and we could be cursed. Now know this. A lady really did commit suicide on that bridge, and the Indians really did use ceremonies out there, and there has been sightings of a ghostly witch stalking the area out there. I never knew any of that. My friend from Eldon said that I would have had left blood on a full moon in order to be cursed. That night was a full moon. I had left feces on the ground, and I'm pretty sure had traces of blood in it, or at least could have. Shortly after, my life was turned upside down by a series of events. Relatives dying. Other relatives of mine lost their minds, going crazy and turning lunatic. I always had a negative outcome for every situation. I felt paranoid, depressed, isolated, helpless, somewhat defeated, just pretty much in general beat down by life. No matter what it was, I just couldn't do anything right. It felt as if the world was dragging me down, as if death was upon me. About 7 years later, one day, it just felt like the world was lifted up off my shoulders, and it was as if my whole world was illuminated. Everything changed. My life changed into an uplifting spiritual experience. That's when I met the love of my life. She has witnessed me go through this event and believes the same thing that I do. That land is and should be forbidden. Something strange keeps drawing me to want to go back there, but I can't and never will. I can't wait anymore for my life living with that or like that. Don't go there, please. I'm begging you. I have better things to do other than make things up like this and spend a great deal of my time sharing this event. This is my testimony.
That's crazy. Show me your shit in places. Now.
Right?
Dick.
You go relieving yourself in random places.
Usually when they say you relieve yourself, you're pissing.
That's true. That is true. I wish he would have used another word.
I mean, he could have just said, I went and relieved myself. You didn't have to go into detail.
Right.
What exactly.
Right.
And how did you wipe your ass, my guy? Because now that's all I'm curious about. Fuck what happened to him.
Now you're going to shit on this guy.
Yeah. You told us everything else. Why didn't you put in there? The fuck?
That's all she's worried about.
Yeah. I don't care that you had bad luck. Maybe he'll listen and he'll tell us.
I can't. That's great. Okay. The second account I have, which is also word for word, I visited Mars Hill on January 1st, 2018. It was cold and sunny, middle of the day, and I was just out exploring. Pulled into the driveway, turned off my vehicle. I went to open the car door and the radio came on. Thinking maybe it was a battery issue or something, I decided to restart the vehicle and leave it running, but turned the radio off. I am an avid cemetery walker. I've never been afraid to explore and look around. When I got out and took a few steps towards the church, I was hit with an immediate sense of uneasiness. I felt like I was being watched and that I was not alone, and that whomever or whatever was with me definitely did not want me there. I took a few deep breaths and walked closer to the church. I snapped a few pictures and then started towards the cemetery, determined not to be spooked away. As I approached the cemetery, I suddenly had a pounding headache, nausea, and felt very dizzy. That was enough for me. I took one photo of the cemetery and went back to my vehicle. When I opened the door to get in, I noticed the radio was playing, even though I had turned it off. It took a good 2 or 3 hours and a very thorough smudge to rid myself of the headache and nausea. I have not been back since. But am curious to see what response, if any, I would have this time around. Most definitely the most uneasy feeling I've ever had in a cemetery.
Mm. We should go visit.
I really want to.
I think we should.
I've never been. I really want to go. Like, this is one place that I'm like...
From us?
No, it's like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
The church is a little farther.
Right.
Because I think Mike said it's like 8 miles outside of Ottumwa.
Still not too bad, though.
So the church would be a little over an hour from here, but...
We could do it.
Yep. Isn't that wild?
That is creepy.
I just want to see if the car actually moves. That's my big thing.
That's what I'm curious about.
Right. I don't really care about the church.
I don't either. I mean, if you're there, you might as well go look.
Right. You might as well go down the few extra miles just to go see it. But I really wanted.
I would go for the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
I didn't even know the church was connected to the bridge. Mike told me. He's like, you know that like the church and the bridge are connected, right? I was like, no, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Wild.
I know, right?
When we go, we'll have to record it so that we can put it on our Facebook page and put it up on YouTube.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. So here we've traveled from the glamorous yet tragic life of Camille Monfort, the so-called Amazonian vampire, to the haunted back roads of Iowa, where bridges cry with the voices of lost children and churches that hold a darkness that still unnerve visitors today. What ties these stories together is the way they live on through the whispers of those who tell them. Part fact, part folklore, part fear. Was Camille really a vampire who walks among us still? Do babies cry on the wind at Cry Baby Bridge? Does Mars Hill Church guard the restless souls of its past? We may never know for sure, but legends like these remind us that history never really dies. It lingers in shadows, in voices carried through the night, and in stories told again and again. And that brings us to the end of this episode. From the opera halls of Brazil to the haunted bridges and churches of Iowa, we've seen how legends cross time and place, leaving behind mysteries that refuse to die.
That was a good one. I like it.
It's got a little bit of everything spooky in that one. It's a good one.
I can't believe we didn't do it last year. I totally meant to. And I know we've been talking about it for a while.
I don't know what happened that caused us to not do it. But there it is. What reminded me of it is Papa had messaged me a few weeks ago and asked me if I did it. I was like, I'm pretty sure. And then that's when I went back and looked and realized that we didn't do it. So I was like, oh, let's add that to the list. We got to do that one this year.
I like that one.
Yeah, we'll have to go. We'll have to plan it out so we can go. So that's it. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, rate us, leave us a review, because those reviews and those ratings help listeners find us. And this will also keep us digging into the strange and unsettling tales, because then we know you like these.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear from you as well. If you've ever visited Crybaby Bridge or felt something unexplainable at Mars Hill or another place like it, share those with us. Our Facebook link and email are in the description. You can send us a Facebook message, send us an email. We also have TikTok. You can send us a DM on TikTok as well. So thanks for listening. And remember that the truth is often stranger than legend. Until next time. Remember to stay curious, stay safe, stay spooky, and remember to
watch for monsters
and don't kill people. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.